Okay, number 1 and 2 source 31.
Hello, guys.
Oh, David, hi.
Professor, a question for you. In defense of probes, well, I've written extensively on this subject. Philosophy, engineering, theology.
Professor Blasthoff, begin transmission.
Beep boop boop boop.
Beep boop boop.
Beep boop boop.
That's what it's all about.
Hi, it's Tig Notaro. You might know me from
hi,
the internet.
Tig.
Oh, hi,
Kyle. I do know you from the internet, actually.
That's how we know each other?
Yeah.
You found me on YouTube?
Yeah, I Googled
YouTube.
I thought we all met on Craigslist.
Oh, David Sunsberger.
Hello, guys.
David, I love your hair today again.
Thank you. Are you being facetious or is it a real thing?
It's got a nice quaff to it, like you like a blowout.
Really jetting through the wind running here.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good. Quaffed it up pretty good. Thanks, man. Like you're right back at you, buddy.
Thanks.
Good looking dude. Tig.
Thanks. Been waiting.
The Tig wig looks better than ever.
Should we say that Tig was not feeling well?
Yes.
For almost a month.
And
thanks to everyone that came out to Flappers. And
yes.
Sorry that you missed Tig, but be happy that she's still alive because she was pretty
close
ill.
To the other side.
Still not fully on the other side.
Yeah,
right.
Tig is the toughest. Like a day out of the hospital,
lying in bed,
just lying
eating
in bed.
Baby food.
Like Tig, do you want to go out to dinner? Absolutely. Like,
well,
just
the
ready
thing
to go.
Is when you're that ill, and when I say you, I mean me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in such denial and confusion of why my body was shutting down that I just did not clear my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, every day I'd be like, oh, I have dinner plans with David tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to see, you know. And then each day would come and...
You weren't canceling? You were canceling.
As it would come up.
I did that, like when I got my wisdom teeth taken out, I made plans with my friends that night.
Yeah.
And all four of them were impacted and I was refusing to take any Vicodin or anything. So they woke me up and like they knock you out and they woke me up and I wanted to drive first. My dad was like, I don't think that's the best idea. I slept the whole way home. And then immediately when I got home, called my friends and was like, guys, we're going out.
Time to party, you guys. Put on your party hats. It's time to rock and roll.
When Kyle visited me in the hospital, he was speaking to me that way.
To make you feel better. You were in the hospital for about a week, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I got...
Not even out a week yet, and I'm back blasting off.
Tough Tig is alive and well.
Yeah.
And can I say, I laughed when I visited you harder than I've laughed in years.
You made a smile with your mouth. I've never seen you
was not making any noise, David. I was that quiet.
He smiled so big, it was weird looking. It was very weird.
And I was crying.
I was having some check myself moments because I wanted to laugh, but Tig was not reciprocating, and I felt so bad. Like nothing feels worse than when you're in a bad mood and people are having a great time. But
I wasn't in the hospital for being in a bad mood.
But your sense of humor stayed fresh.
At one point we were.
Ma'am, it looks like from our test that you're in a bad mood. We're going to keep you overnight.
We shot that video of when Leslie put this drop of this like extract under my tongue, and so everyone was like waiting for this flip out from me. I didn't really flip out that much.
Well, it was oil of oregano,
right?
Which, you know, I guess is a very powerful
battery
healing.
It's an immune
battery
booster.
I wasn't even ingesting liquids. I was just having my mouth sponged out.
What makes you feel like fire has been introduced into your whole mouth?
David handled it like a gentleman.
Sure.
Do you want to know what I was crying about?
Let me just...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So they show me video of when someone else took it, and so there was the pan around the room with this phone, or the, you know, whoever was filming it, and everyone's losing their mind and laughing, and then there'd be a quick cutaway to Tig just lifeless on the bed, and it was just a weird...
In a bad
dichotomy.
Mood.
Yeah, just, oh, she's in a bad mood.
She's still in a bad mood.
Yes, in a very bad
Can
mood.
Can I say I was impressed with your sense of humor? Like, you had no energy yesterday, but you still didn't skip a beat. We went to Baja Fresh, and I got a taco. I said, this taco's really fresh. And she immediately responded with no energy, Baja. She couldn't skip the opportunity.
It sounds funny, but it wasn't.
I thought that one had good one written all over it.
No.
But you went with Bahaha.
Yeah. Well, when he said this taco is very fresh, it was a pretty good comeback to say Bahaha.
But with no energy, just like, I have no energy.
I just got it.
That's very funny. I wish I was there in the beginning for that joke so I could have laughed at the right point.
Can I just tell you, David, when you were talking about wisdom teeth and impacted wisdom teeth, I got my wisdom teeth surgically removed probably 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I
fake cough.
That was a fake cough, just so in case anyone thinks that I'm not really.
She's in a great mood. Things are going fine.
But I was dropped fake off.
Mouth clear.
I was dropped off at the hospital. I needed somebody to sign me in, saying they were going to drive me home after the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was clueless as far as why I really would need somebody to drive me home.
Mm-hmm.
So I had parked my car at the hospital in Denver and was dropped off, and somebody signed in saying, yeah, I'll pick her up, and then just took off to work. And then I got all four wisdom teeth surgically removed. And then they moved me from one bed to another. And when they moved my body, it woke me up, kind of. And then I, in my delirium, remembered I had no ride home. So I panicked and jumped off the bed and started running crooked down the hall of the hospital, just so out of my mind on painkillers. And then got in the car, drove home out of my mind. Like, I was just a stupid... I don't even know how old I was. Early 20s. No offense, early 20 dummies.
Your wisdom teeth were gone.
Good one.
Thank you.
So I get home, and at the time, my friends Beth and Leslie lived in the apartment below me. And hang in there.
But they could not drive you. They were just...
They were both
there
at work, and I just didn't want to bother people. No, they were like at work. Mm-hmm. And so I got home, and when I got home... I started to feel my pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to go back up to the hospital to get my painkillers, but I could not drive back. I was realizing. So I went up to Beth and Leslie's, and when I went up, I was so out of my mind. When I went up to their door on the patio, I was banging on the door because I saw Leslie's car parked back there. So I was like, certainly she's home and she can help me out. No answer. And in my drug-induced craziness, I decided Leslie was inside and did not want to help me out. And I was drugged like crazy, and her car was there. I couldn't figure out why she was not. So their door was glass, and the curtain came down and only revealed about 2 inches at the bottom. So I was lying on the patio, banging on the door, peeking under that little area, going, Leslie, Leslie. And she was not answering at all. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I walked down the patio, went off the patio, went around to the front of the house. We lived in this Victorian home that was like cut into apartments. I walk around to the front of the house, and there's a new neighbor that I hadn't met that was lying on, she was sunbathing in front of the house. And I came around, and I was like, yeah, Yulin. And I was pointing up to Beth and Leslie's apartment going, hey, Yulin, yeah, they're Leslie, they live in that apartment. And she was like, no, like, what is wrong? And I was like, I didn't need them to take me to get my medication in the hospital. And this woman was horrified, staring at me. And I was just thinking, you know, oh my, I come back around. So I go back up onto the patio. Then I see a trail of blood leading up to Beth and Leslie's apartment. And I'm like, they have been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
My friends, who I have grown up with, have been murdered when I just ran around to the front of the house.
Yeah, he's been murdered.
Has been murdered.
Oh, my God.
And while I was sitting there banging on the door, Beth and Leslie came home. Beth had picked up Leslie to take her to lunch. That's why Leslie's car was out back. Mm-hmm. And why she wasn't answering. It wasn't because she was in there going, I am not going to help Tig.
That's really why it wasn't?
Why was she bleeding?
Thank you.
Who?
Someone.
It was your
blood? It was my blood from lying on the patio, banging on the door. Oh. I had blood. The woman in the front of the house had seen a lunatic come around to the front of the house with blood down the front of me going, pointing up to the second floor saying, I need to go to the hospital for my medication. Hmm. And then I thought my friends had been murdered, but it was my own blood from my wisdom teeth.
And that was 9/11, same day.
I didn't tune out, but I
don't care.
I just was transfixed that your microphone has a bow on it. Very fitting.
Yeah, I don't know why it's there. You.
It's a little welcome back, but I was a little bit late, so I don't know if you guys had already discussed that.
We did a whole bit about it. It was really funny.
We could not stop talking about the bow.
Well, there's so much there because there's a bow on her microphone.
Who had the bow delivered to
well,
my...
Get well soon. Glad you're back, Tig. Here's a bow.
It actually was put there for comedic reasons, hopefully.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny bow.
You're right. fake burp.
Fake burp, fake cough. Did we check in with the professor?
Not yet.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I love getting behind gas. Drobiology.
Who wrote that?
Complete zing.
Sounds like some Aaron wrote.
No, Aaron I did written. Not. Oh, no. Okay. I wanted to go with, this microbe has no ass, drobiology. But you guys shot that. Never mind.
No one would guess that of all the PG-13 bordering on R-rated professor ones that
Aaron's behind us.
Aaron has a hand in talking about the donkey kind of ass.
Not that we write them. I mean, that's obviously the professor joining, but he chooses which one.
But even still, donkey ass is dirty.
Jackass? Yeah. You can say jackass in
not on
movies.
This podcast.
Not in here, mister.
You
Mormon
take that
or
out.
Otherwise.
Oh, Mormon boy. Or bust.
Can I just say every time Tig introduces me to somebody new, she always says, this is Aaron, and he's Mormon.
You can just say that.
And it's, he's Mormon.
Well, Aaron always introduces me. This is Tig, and she's my boss.
This is my boss, Tig.
Uh-oh, here we go. Yeah,
fake.
Do you ask her, like, can I knock
ask
off early, boss?
Her.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I thought that was going to go longer.
No.
That's nuts!
Aaron, that Dang. Was not nuts.
Yeah. Aaron, that well, wasn't nuts.
It was beautiful.
I know, but it felt like it should naturally turn into
that. Guys, what do you think about like astrobiology?
Oh. I don't know what it is.
Astro meaning...
Is it life on astros?
Outer space life.
Is it right? The Houston Astros?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What is an astro?
Proving whether or not their players are actually living. And sports fans in Houston might get a kick out of that one.
It's what to get Astro players leave on the back of the sluts that come to their show.
What's astrobiology?
I like to associate it with the search for life on other planets. Meaning, astro I always associate with stars, isn't that? I'll probably save that one for when we have our guest on. But I like astronaut, meaning we're heading out into the stars, but it must mean... The original.
We should leave this for the
astrology.
Yeah, but anyway, in biology, life. So life out there in the heavens, searching for that.
Well, we don't have to wait for the guest. What do you suppose it is?
That life in outer space.
What are your thoughts on that?
A mix of astrology and biology, maybe. Not well. Astrology is more like Lorax.
Let's get a guest in here.
What are your thoughts on it, though? Do you?
I think that there definitely is life.
Mm-hmm. What leads you to believe that?
Mainly because there is life at the bottom of the ocean near those volcano vents, whatever they are, those vents.
Where are the volcano vents?
At the bottom of the ocean.
And
there's life down there, and there's no light, there's no oxygen, and it's...
Those little weird see-through...
They're not weird. Maybe you're weird to them.
Those translucents?
Yes, them translucents.
There's like white crabs. There's really weird things down there.
Well, and you just said they weren't weird.
Oh my gosh.
I think
just
that's
got
what
caught.
That gives us
you
the
just
best
got
glimpse
tigged.
Into
tigged.
You got tigged.
Wait, let's do a you got tigged.
Yeah. You got tigged.
Okay, there's another one for our repertoire of things that annoy people who are listening.
You're welcome.
You got
you
tigged.
Just got tigged. You just got tigged.
The thing that just happened to you is called getting tigged.
All right.
Hey, anything named something about what just happened to me? Is there a name for it?
Yeah, that's called getting tigged.
I think that like bottom of the ocean type life that lives despite our
let's bring in the specialist.
No, but like we have these notions that even when we on cartoons, like the aliens kind of have a similar makeup to us. They breathe in and they, you know, their own biology is similar, and anatomy and things is kind of similar to ours. Like whatever their respiratory and
I'm sorry,
they
feed
did you
say anatomy and things?
Anatomy and things. I mean, just
but
their
it's
makeup.
Not at the bottom of the ocean. They're living off.
I would have taken a class visit called us, anatomy like, and things.
What does that do for like God created all the animals? Like
Aaron.
It just shows us how he did it.
But okay. Would it? But like,
well, how did you do it? He showed us.
Why would
us.
He put them at the bottom of the ocean?
Why wouldn't he? There's so much room to fill, and there's so many experiments that you know God's doing. Like, I wonder what I could do over
so
here.
So he's okay. Bored.
That's in Genesis 49:12.
I wonder what I could do over here.
You know what I loved?
Uh-oh. You just got ticked.
You know,
your throat phlegm just got ticked.
Well, I loved when you were explaining why God put the little see-through crabs at the bottom of the ocean. When you were just explaining, you were shrugging your shoulders every time you did a sentence. Like, well, easy, clearly. Well, why else?
Well, obvious to me.
Well, golly, guys.
Sounds like Aaron's getting tigged right now.
Big time tig.
Double tig.
Should we bring in our guest?
Yes.
Sounds
should.
Like we have a lot of information on this topic.
Well, I was curious on your, but I didn't really get to.
You got tigged.
I got tigged a little bit.
Oh, go ahead.
But no, like the things at the bottom of the ocean, or they found that type of bacteria around Mono Lake that metabolized arsenic. You know, like our and I do a joke about our.
Yeah, you know about that, right?
Have you heard about that?
Who do what?
It just it lent some credence to the idea that the aliens out there might be completely different.
Oh
than
yeah,
what
yeah,
we
yeah.
Associate
I heard about
them.
There is a clip about this that I found about Mono Lake. If you want to hear it,
is there a horse trotting by?
there could be.
So what are you saying about it?
I was just saying, like, our association of biology, like, we know the biological makeup of most things on planet Earth. Even those things at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, like, we have a general idea, like, oh, it's an amoeba. I mean, it withstands this amazing pressure, and it somehow synthesizes without any light, but it still somehow makes sense to us, whereas there could be aliens that were sort of comprised out of stars and dark matter and, you know, that it was just, it's hard. Like when people talk about meeting God or finding out the answers to things, even if it was told you, like the idea of infinity, if it were told to you, you still couldn't wrap your head around it because of the paradigm we live in, you know, like I don't, that doesn't make sense. And I think the same thing about life elsewhere. If they told you like, oh, it lives this way. This is what it eats. This is how it breathes. Mm-hmm. We would only know like, wait, is it like us? What does it take a sandwich and put it in its mouth?
No, it only poops. These creatures only poop.
It poops stars out. Like if black holes were like a living thing, just suck it, like, and they're an alien just sucking up
very
stars.
Very greedy, self-centered.
So hungry, yeah.
Black I think that's the hungry. Cover of History or Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Still starving.
Eyes on the black hole, right?
There what? Are eyes?
on the. It's a black hole with a face.
Ooh, nice.
Oh,
I do my research, guys.
I guess.
Oh, just we know.
Got served by you. Let's bring in our guest.
We just got Aaron.
We just got Aaron. No?
Getting Aaron is much lighter. Yeah. It doesn't
because
hurt
only
as bad.
He chimes in. Do it. Say it again.
You just got Aaron.
That's pretty good.
I just ran you.
You ran us.
You run errands.
Oh, okay.
All right. So let's bring in our guest. Today's guest is Emily Rittershouse. She's getting a PhD in microbiology and genetics at the University of Massachusetts Medical School and works on a microbe. I have no idea what that means.
She works on a particular microbe.
Oh. She works on a very small yes. creature. Yeah, we're crushing it.
Can you tell us the name?
Hi, Emily.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi.
Hello.
How's Massachusetts? Are you in Massachusetts right now?
It's educational.
I am in Massachusetts, Worcester.
Worcester, Massachusetts. That's where I buy my firecrackers. Over there in Worcester.
Why firecrackers?
They're cheaper over there. If you go to Trump's, they're more expensive firecrackers. Well, in Worcester, there's two for $14.94.
Oh, I like the more expensive firecrackers.
Era, you're like a John F. Kennedy cracker buyer.
Yeah, that thing about my firecrackers, I like
that's
the finest.
That's not what Worcester firecrackers can do for you, but how explosive those Worcester firecrackers can be.
Hands off a child. Yes, they will.
Why don't you sound like this?
Yeah, where's your...
I don't know.
Is somebody tickling you?
You guys.
Oh, okay. I'm just picturing some guy, like a huge man standing behind you, tickling you.
She's getting tickled.
I'll be honest. You don't sound
here
like...
Here come my fingertips.
Racing around your body.
If you don't giggle, you're getting a firecracker right to the face.
My fingertips are like firecrackers.
You know where it's coming from.
Guys, Aaron was doing something.
Kyle's fingers are like firecrackers.
Oh, wait,
sparklers.
What part of the country is this, Aaron?
Yeah, where's he from?
I'm from Utah, Massachusetts.
We just got Aaron.
Oh, Emily, your giggle does not make you sound like you're getting a PhD.
She's getting tickled.
I know, I'm very giggly.
I love it.
I meant, tickled is what I said.
Yeah, you're getting tickled.
Yes.
Tickled. Tickled.
Do you have little giggle attacks in your class?
Sometimes. If I'm listening to a funny program like Professor Blastoff, yes.
Mm. So you're sweet.
Good answer.
Oh, Kyle's doing a standing ovation with his pants down. That was a curveball.
I'm hot below the waist.
So how many episodes have you heard?
Probably like half of them. So I don't know, like 20.
Why only 20?
Not the greatest math.
I just haven't gotten through them yet.
Why?
I don't know. I'm slacking off.
Why?
Are you working on a PhD or something?
Why?
Or are you giggling?
Yeah.
You know what? Hang up on her. This is the most useless. No, Emily, you are adorable, and that's all we called to say. So take care.
That's been podcast.
What's the name of the microbe that you research?
Oh, so I work on, I actually work on Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which causes tuberculosis.
Would have guessed that.
Yeah.
All signs lead to.
Yes.
I'm really only mad at tuberculosis for taking away Doc Holliday. Elsewise, I'm fine with it. How do you guys feel?
I call it Turkey
Saturday. Saturday is World Tuberculosis Day, so you can celebrate.
That sounds fun. Thing.
Actually, last Saturday was. This
you
will
just
be
try
out
to hack up
right
form.
After.
Well, how do you celebrate?
Saturday, March 24th?
Yes.
That's my birthday, and I'm not kidding.
Oh.
Happy tuberculosis.
You were born on tuberculosis day?
I was born on tuberculosis day.
Tuberculosis.
I call it turkeyberculosis. When did you name that?
Happy tuberculosis day, too.
No.
This is a nightmare.
It's to commemorate the day when Robert Koch, who's a scientist way
who?
Back when, who did Robert Koch.
Okay.
It's a great last
name. Aaron's laughing like pretty hard.
Loves the
Aaron,
dirty stuff.
No.
Just glad for Phil.
I was laughing at something completely
what
unrelated.
What were you laughing at?
You just heard the word cock and you just started giggling. Admit it.
Aaron.
Stop. I was thinking how ridiculous the professor's saying today was.
No, you weren't.
No, you weren't.
Aaron, stop
coupled
it.
Coupled with this guy's name.
It was a
and
con.
A girl
and a Cockney accent
giggling Cockney up accent. A storm over there.
So
tell
okay.
that guy to get out from behind you.
I'm not done tickling.
He sounds like
I've only just begun.
He sounds like he can really get behind astrophysics. All right. So,
oh man, yeah. So right now I work on Mycobacterium tuberculosis, but before I started my PhD work, I went to McGill University in Montreal in Canada, and there I worked in a lab that studied microbes from the Arctic. And,
oh,
yes, so
the
they
Arctic.
Are a astrobiology lab.
Oh.
See how it feels.
When you so even in like Antarctica, that ice, you're dealing with microbes and they're indigenous, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, and it's actually kind of it's a little bit hard to figure that out because they could have just, you know, dropped into the ice from being blown there and just been frozen. But you can actually find actively growing microbes living in sub-zero temperatures.
And we have microbes on our skin. There's microbes already in your body. Tig dealt recently with that.
Yes. There's 10 times more bacterial cells on and in your body than human cells.
And in the ice at the nether regions of planet Earth, they're there, and at the depths of the ocean, are there microbes at the deeps of the ocean?
Yep. There are microbes that live down there on those hydrothermal vents, deep sea hydrothermal vents.
And so what has stopped us from finding them other places? Like when a meteor shows up, we can't really be certain that those microbes...
I like that you just say a meteor shows up.
Yeah, like when a
hey, guys.
You're never going to guess who just showed up.
Meteor. Yes,
meteor, guys. Yeah, meteor
totally. Unannounced, as usual.
Didn't even text.
When people race out to that site... Are microbes at the top of the list, so to speak? On like what? I mean, we want to diagnose what that meteor is made of, but then like, oh, is there life on it?
Microbes are like by and large the most likely organisms to be living on other planets if we can find them.
That'll be so disappointing, though. You get to another planet, and it's just a microbe.
Hey, party down here! Yay!
And then
we mean you no harm. No. We outnumber you by the millions.
The size of a pinprick.
Oh. Hear us, this is painful.
We'll get you. Guys, Aaron.
That would be funny to be invaded by, like, they get here. They don't realize how big we'd be. And then many little planes flying out.
Yeah. Power to us. Like shields and swords.
Fill them up.
Oh, no. They're way bigger than we thought.
Don't relax, fellas. We got them outnumbered. Stick with it.
Retreat back to the planet Zorbog.
We came unprepared. Aaron was tugging on my sleeve. He has a video I guess he wants to show.
Well, you guys are talking about asteroids and meteors showing up, but this one doesn't. Haven't found actual microbes, but the DNA building blocks, which is close. So we're pretty close to finding.
Prepare for a horse trotting by.
It's kind of close.
Meteorites is that in the laboratory we study reactions of hydrogen cyanide, and when we extract these the products from these hydrogen cyanide reactions, we also get nucleobases, and we actually get a similar suite of nucleobases to what's found in the meteorite. And so when we saw that, we were really excited because we were thinking, well, hydrogen cyanide is dispersed everywhere in the interstellar medium, and it's likely to have some sort of chemical reaction on the meteorite. And so when we saw that, that really convinced us a lot that we're seeing something from a chemical reaction rather than some sort of biological contamination coming into the meteorite. So this has implications for the origin of life on Earth. We know that meteorites contain amino acids, which are the building blocks of your proteins. And now from our research, we can show that nucleobases, which are the building blocks of your genetic material, like DNA and RNA, are also found in meteorites. And so these things together could have seeded an early Earth with these really important molecules that could have built up
larger that, I mean, that makes sense, and obviously, scientifically.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I mean, if you're kind of not necessarily in a Big Bang scenario or theory that this small amount of life crawled out and evolved and turned into us, essentially, but it also seems so limiting that that's maybe the only way life could form microbes.
Is that possible that a microbe can evolve into like a complicated being like
over us? A billion years? What thoughts, Emily?
Emily?
Well, okay, so there are a few theories about how life like just started on Earth, and some of them are that
God.
Right, there's God. There's also a theory that microbes just came here from another planet on an asteroid.
Let's go! Well, don't you think if Earth were, we knew it was on its way out, wouldn't we shoot a rocket with a capsule of, say, some DNA
Emily,
or microbes?
Stop it!
Into another planet, into, say, you know, a planet we thought might be heating up, and time release capsule-wise, like, all right, we'll release this DNA in a million years or something like that. I mean... That could have been shot, you know, say from like Mercury to us or something like
David,
that.
David, please stay on topic.
And that's true. I think Francis Crick or something believed that theory for a long time, that the life here was sent to us from another planet, like escaping. But,
very cool.
So that's possible. And also, we really, whenever we go into space, we kind of contaminate space with microbes, because no matter what you do, they're always going to be on like the outside of the space capsules or whatever. So we put DNA up there all the time.
What about if you hose it down?
So on the Voyagers that are really far out there by now, they could have microbes that can be getting shedded onto maybe planets.
Watch your language. Where
some, some work. That'd be great.
PG.
Oh, also getting back to, so wait, what are the stellar.
Other, I'm sorry, what are the other ways of life starting? Were you done?
So the other ways, well, there are a few other theories, and really it's all speculation because no one really knows. Some way, at some time, some point in time, something went from not living to living, and it's kind of hard to comprehend how that happened. But so they think that, like, all these chemicals on Earth, at the very beginning of Earth, Earth is about 4 billion years old. And at the very beginning, there's all these, like, the conditions were a lot different than the conditions are today. And so all these different molecules would have been interacting in the oceans or whatever. And in some way, they were able to combine into, like, a bubble and somehow start.
Are you making this up? You sound
Emily, you made that up.
She's like, and then
there was no bubble.
There were bubbles, and then butterflies happened.
I mean, that's basically what the theory is.
I pictured you twirling your hair and looking around your room, and anything you saw, you're like, and then bubbles.
And unicorns.
Wait, my question, though, real quickly, when I was blathering on about, so stellar, star, what is astro? Mm-hmm. Does that mean heavens?
I don't know what that means. Probably something to do with space.
Why don't you make something up again?
All right. Guys, I'm doing a search.
Guys, let's go to a commercial, and then we'll be back to listen to Emily get tickled by some Bostonian dude.
Okay. Are we back yet?
Yeah, we're back.
Well, we were just kind of recording you laughing for a little while. Okay. I feel like you don't get us.
We've done no research yet, but we're pretty certain that listeners find it very soothing. It's a very pleasant giggle.
Yeah, I feel like people are going to like this episode.
Yeah.
Unless they hate Joy.
I'm having trouble getting around the...
hearing around her laughter.
No, I love the laughter. I'm really... Is there any way to get the microbes off your body? It's just so disgusting.
No,
when that
no,
happens, it's terrible for
really
you.
They're really good for you.
Yeah, you don't want to get...
What are they doing for me?
Scrubbing your skin up. Keeping
really?
Stuff
on.
It's like
yeah,
those little...
washing you.
Those
I can't even believe it, that there's a bunch of creatures
I can
me.
See them.
You have so many E. coli, like, in your esophagus all the time. Like, when you eat meat that's undercooked or whatever, it promotes those growing in a disproportionate amount, and that's why you get, you have E. coli, but you always have E. coli. You always have the
Emily, what are the those drinks?
Emily, what? Aaron's asking, what are those drinks?
Those macrobiotics.
I think we were all thinking, what are those drinks?
The macros.
You mean like the probiotics?
Yeah.
I'm drinking one right now. How weird.
I drank
just,
one.
Those are just like bacteria that don't infect you. They just live in your stomach, and they're really good for you they're really good for you because they grow in your stomach, which means that bad bacteria can't grow.
So I'm drinking like a bottle full of like little creatures.
Yes.
Yep.
Also, astro means star in Greek. So you got to the bottom.
Okay.
That's what this was all leading up to.
Finally getting there, guys. Nice conclusion.
I forgot my Greek.
But the in the sexual attraction episode, we talked about how like your sweat reacts differently to the
why do you always bring this up every episode?
She's married. Does that make sense to you?
Does she sound interested?
Your microbes are what give you your pheromones, the way your sweat glands interact.
I know,
interact.
But we're talking about stars.
No, we're talking about
this
microbes.
Has nothing to do with
we're
your
saying,
pants.
Is there life on another planet? And you're bringing it to sweaty
I have to agree with you. You just got ticked, man.
I just got ticked for no reason.
Aaron, tell him.
Jeez, David, you're usually the one to keep us on track, but now you've been ticked.
Get us on track.
And then you just got ran by Aaron.
Your microbes on your body, could we spawn a little, like when you get a rash, is like,
what?
My, oh, like
David. Oh, you, my God. Why are you assuming she's getting rashes?
Could we get like humanitis? The CD talks about.
She does not sound like she has a rash.
Could a rash Emily? Be like that's a civilization growing on you, right? I mean, that is a new
a
life.
A rash? Form. I don't know if that's caused by
what's going on. Like when you get a bacterial it's infection, a that's a little civilization living on your skin. They've inhabited your planet body as their own world.
Yeah, if you
we will claim it as ours and make it red in the process.
Put a flag in it, fellas.
What color this time? Red again? Okay.
It's a pass.
I'm just looking at our outline, and the first thing says, what is astrobiology? What is it in a nutshell? We don't sound...
Okay, that's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I tried to get there with stars and life.
Yeah.
I know, but I just like the simplicity... up against astrobiology. What is it in a nutshell?
Astrobiology is essentially the study of what life on other planets may be. And it encompasses sort of a lot of different subject areas like chemistry and astronomy and biology all to, and we examine extreme environments on Earth as kind of like a, what's the word?
Pickles?
As if they,
they're like a foreign world.
Hair dryer.
Yeah, as if they can represent another planet with a harsh environment. Like for example, we think that there is liquid water or frozen water on Mars. And if there is frozen water or liquid water, then there's a high probability that life exists on Mars in a microbial form.
Right. And that, but that's, again, what I was saying before, like, that's because what we know, the world we know, is that. But right. Is there some possibility, this may sound crazy, but in a world where we accept the idea of infinity, and yet our periodic table is under 300 elements, is that right?
I don't know.
I'm ballparking here. And then, so is there the idea that in a far off, distant part of this own in this universe, there could be other elements that make up an entirely different, so, sort of like a parallel world to this, in that things just
David, she's married.
I'm just saying that, like we. Scientifically, you would get to that point of saying, like, oh, there isn't liquid water on Mars. There cannot be life. And Mars is something we're oddly kind of familiar with. But way at the other end, there could be life that we just don't associate with because it's so different. It could be made of dust, or it could be made of particles that
welcome
to us seem inanimate.
Dust planet.
Yeah, or like rock planet.
Well, that's true. That is true. But I think the study that... The reason why we study what we know is because this is the only thing we know, and because we can find like all of the elements we know in space and all of the building blocks for life, like amino acids and nucleotides.
She sounds interested, David.
Coming from outer space.
You have a shot, but don't push it right now.
Yeah, don't We're push it. She's definitely call interested.
Call her after the podcast.
Yeah, so we think
Emily, are you single, Emily? Emily, are you single?
I am not single, but I'm not married.
She's not single. I told you.
She's loose.
I'm right behind her, tickling away.
I'm not either, guys.
Oh.
103 elements, by the way. I was
less than 300.
Wait, am I right? No, 262.
Yeah, 100.
Still less than 300.
262.
So you're getting
that.
Married, Emily? Possibly.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Is he an astrobiologist too?
Or she.
Or she. Or they. Yeah. Are they.
Or what?
Or what's astrobiologist?
No, he actually has a moped shop.
Oh.
I figured.
Yeah. That made her giggle
yeah,
so much.
I was going to say, you are definitely on the back of a moped giggling through Boston.
Will you, moped guy, take this astrobiologist?
Giggle.
So opposites don't attract.
Giggly astrobiologist.
He's just moped guy.
I'm sure that's all he is just moped guy.
Guy who runs a moped
he
shop.
He just keeps bringing up moped things to you. And you're like, also.
Emily, do you giggle as you guys fly down the road on a moped?
Yes.
Of course.
So what excites you in this pursuit? Tuberculosis, for all intents, not a real threat anymore. Why do you want to be so knowledgeable about
it? It is a real threat.
Not at all. No chance.
David, you're blowing it.
No,
it's a threat. She's studying it. It's got a day of the year.
Take some elixir, you get a little snake oil, and you're fine.
It's bronchitis weekend. No.
TB is the most deadly bacterial pathogen in the world today.
Emily.
Not scared of it at all. Not
it
scared of it at
2 million people per year.
I don't know if you two are very serious about your significant others. What, Kyle?
There's a lot of tension in here.
Could there be planets with people with golden skin? And
good question, Aaron.
System.
What would be your hypothesis?
DNA would have to, instead of being carbon-based, it would have to have gold.
I wonder if their currency would be
let him talk.
They'd be heavier, and it'd be a lot more heat in the solar system. So there'd be liquid gold, but they'd just be like, "Hey, I'm liquid gold guy."
Emily is still laughing.
Thank you for letting Aaron finish that, by the way.
Yeah.
That was important.
I love that Aaron's
gold-based. Instead of carbon-based life forms, gold-based.
But by that, carbon doesn't look like us. So what are you saying?
But you know, we have carbon skin, but it doesn't look like... But they have gold-based skin, but it would still just be rock hard.
Oh, they
loves
like
the dirty stuff, ad. This guy.
What? How is that dirty?
Would their currency be human skin?
Yes.
Opposite world.
Euros.
Euros.
Mm-hmm.
Europeans.
So you still find tuberculosis, that joke of a bacteria, to be...
That's what she's laughing at.
She never answered my question, I take your laughter.
Answers to your question.
What's going on with gold world?
Are there gold people? Thank you.
Emily, if you could... All signs point to yes.
Awesome. Okay, perfect. That's all
Aaron's
I wanted to know.
Two questions this episode. What is that drink called?
And are there gold people?
And I gave you guys that clip.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was no horse trotting by.
So tuberculosis is a threat.
Thanks, Tig.
And the next pandemic, is that something in your field where they would go to you if there was some kind of...
Probably not.
No?
They wouldn't go right to you.
But get Emily in the hole.
Follow that giggle.
I'm the president of the United States. God damn it, call Emily.
I mean, I'd help maybe, but you know.
Do you know all about, do you study pandemics? Is that part of what you want to do, is be able to stop that kind of thing? Like, what is your
goal? Yeah, what do you want to do?
So my research is trying to figure out how TB, it can be dormant and stay in your lungs, dormant for like forever, as long as it wants to. And I'm studying how it does that and maintains its viability in the lungs.
What drew you to, what made you interested in this?
Well, so my dad is a cellular biologist.
Will he come on the show?
Yeah, he'd probably be a lot more informative.
Does he giggle a lot?
Yes, he does. It's a family trait.
Oh, good. Okay. So
I always grew up with a lot of science. And when I went to university, I decided to major in microbiology because I think microbes are super cool. Mm-hmm. They're way cooler.
Thank
you. And tough. Say we're tough. Some people get us.
They're way more interesting than eukaryotes.
So,
did you just call us carrots?
You know, the ultimate cool thing.
Yeah.
The ultimate cool thing for Emily would be a microbe on a moped going by. That would really turn around.
But her boyfriend has microbes.
True.
Yeah, so she's already in heaven.
I just got tigged.
You just got tigged.
Should we go to another clip?
Sure.
Sure. You can play the one that this is a listener sent this in. Pretty sweet. This guy just talking about the world of microbes. It's called Intimate Strangers. This guy's really passionate. We can cut it off whenever, but he's really into it. And I don't know if there's a way to post this. It was just sent as an MOV file, but at the end, he's getting really fired up. They get they put in just basically a couple drops, you know, like, here, a few microbes, and then they heat and pressurize this water, and the microbes, within a matter of like 3 minutes, multiply 10 million times. So he has this sheet that he scrapes millions of microbes off of, and he's getting so fired up about it at the end, like, hey, can you imagine how fast these are reproducing without being on a planet? And the two guys sitting next to him are just could not care less, just staring blankly into the camera.
That's kind of like sometimes on this show, like when you go nuts about something.
Yeah, maybe that's why I related to him so much. Like,
all right, you want to press play on the recorder?
Yeah, I started this about 2 minutes in, so
okay. Microbes are everywhere. And, for example, even on my skin, there are hundreds of thousands per square inch. And they are growing there and they're protecting the skin from organisms which are harmful to us.
Oh. Marina sent this in. Thank you, Marina.
Should we just end it there?
It's for the hottest spots he can find, hoping to locate the modern life forms most closely related to the first life on Earth. But why hotspots? From studying microbe fossils, scientists are convinced that life on Earth began before 3.5 billion years ago. But from studying rocks, they've discovered that before 3.5 billion years ago, our planet was still steaming hot and covered by oceans that regularly reached the boiling point. All of which made for a riddle.
Uh-oh.
That was nuts.
That was nuts.
That was medium
nuts. What do you
nuts.
Think the riddle was, Emily?
Probably that it was the conditions were pretty harsh for life to form, but yet life still found a way.
And why
and
do
that
microbes?
That way is something that hopefully will stay. If we stop all these microbes from gathering strength, we will be left alone at the world.
And nothing rhymes with strength.
I know.
At length.
Length.
I knew I was screwed. Whatever.
Keep going, sweetie. You were on a roll.
David, this riddle is 3.5 billion years old, Kyle. There's got to
be more to it. People are going to
there has to be a bus in it. It's 3.5.
Yeah, it's,
I don't think there's a bus.
Well, it'll come to him, I'm sure, Emily, because it's an older riddle. But so why is?
Well, we take our time as we travel through space.
There it is.
It's not here. It's another place. But remember this: when you shower up good. There are little creatures in your neighborhood. So leave town. Get away from all this stuff. Hop aboard that beautiful microbialist-less blue bus.
There was a point.
Well, that is the place where you all gather thee upon a rocket ship from outer space. To me?
I love that the voice becomes...
Oh, microbes, get off my skin! When will you end? And why did you begin? One of my favorite...
That is, yeah, that's one of the older ones.
In the middle, it sounded a little like Thriller. Like, what's his name in the very beginning?
Those ghostly goobs upon
you. Yeah, you sounded like... What was his name?
No idea.
Price.
Yeah, Vincent Price.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. why do they require the heat so much? I mean, they want to be on our body, in our body, and yet they're going on in Antarctica, just chilling in the ice. What's up?
Well, yeah, what's up?
I mean, the
you're on what's up? Go ahead.
Talk about microbes. What's up? Got Emily on the phone. Emily, microbes. What's up?
From here on out,
Emily,
that's how we're going to do the podcast.
Northern Pole microbes. What's up? What's up? Got 5 seconds.
Did you just pick Soren?
No, it wasn't me.
Was that you, Aaron? Aaron, so you asked, what is that drink? Are there gold people? And then did a pig snort?
Do gold people snort?
Okay, so everything's going to be like that.
You're back on
what's
up?
We're back. Emily, what's up?
Microbes, what's up?
Okay. So microbes are incredibly, incredibly diverse. And so they can live in normal temperatures like where we live, but they can also live, different species can live in really hot temperatures or really cold temperatures. And but, like a requirement for life is
I love that David's already like, but.
Yeah, my question there is like, why didn't the ice people take over? Why didn't those microbes?
Oh, ice people.
Because.
Inuits.
So there's this one spring that the lab that I used to
work in. Why didn't the ice people take over? What's up? What's up with that?
The lab I used to work in studies, and it's stays liquid down to like minus 50 degrees Celsius because there's so much salt in the water. So even though it's minus 50 degrees, there's still liquid water to be used by life forms.
Okay.
That's true.
Why?
Is there reproduction rate at the same level as intensity?
No, they'll be a lot slower just because of the chemistry and the physics is a lot.
Is this about, hold on, Emily. Is this about to be nuts? I feel like what you're going to say is about to be nuts, okay. Guys.
Hey, Emily, tell us.
What's nuts?
Okay.
So without laughing.
Microbes. I'll try. Microbes at really cold temperatures.
Yeah, you guys say like, what's nuts about microbes? Try
yeah,
again.
Yeah. Let's Emily.
What's nuts?
Without laughing.
What's nuts about microbes that live at cold temperatures is that they grow really slow because
without smiling too. Without smiling.
Without smiling. Here we go. Emily,
what's nuts?
No smiling.
No smiling.
Okay. So, microbes.
Emily, are you okay?
You're forgetting. You're forgetting. It's okay. Gotta start with what's nuts about microbes.
Yeah, you have to say, what's nuts about microbes? Okay.
Emily,
what's nuts?
Without smiling or laughing.
Okay. So what's nuts about microbes at cold temperatures is that they grow very, very slowly because of physics of molecules at low temperatures is just a lot slower. And so they might take like months to just duplicate one time, whereas E. coli at a normal temperature can replicate in about 20 minutes.
Wow.
That's completely nuts. Relatively nuts.
I'm saying that's 100% nuts.
I wasn't listening because I was just trying to listen for whether or not you were smiling or laughing.
So within molecule-wise, atom-wise, those electrons are bouncing around. Atoms are moving around so slowly. Like
with a Roman candle.
And yet they're still reproducing, meaning that the ice people could be evolving at a rate so much slower than us. But if the human race continues a billion more years and then finally ice people start pitching around a baseball or what have you, we can finally fight them. Like, what took you guys so long to get here? They'll just be like getting the wheel underhand.
Emily, what's up with the gold people fought ice people? What's up with that? What happened? What's up? Was it what's up? Was that right?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that? What's up?
Ice people versus micro people. What's up? What's up?
There's lots of ice people on like Legend of Zelda games like that.
That's what I was talking about, man.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Do you have any last minute questions or answers for us before we get out of here?
Yeah, any trivia for us we might never have a chance of getting?
You want to play Stump the Morons? That's what you ask us.
Do you guys know what the three domains of life are?
Oh, let's try to guess. Tig, any thoughts? The three domains.
It used to be the five kingdoms, but it was reorganized.
Yeah, wasn't that kingdom, phylum, class, order, genus, species?
Yeah, now domain's on top.
Oh.
David, how did you know that?
Ninth grade biology.
You should have said, this is about to be nuts, that I actually know these.
Earth, wind, and fire.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Creedence Clearwater Revival. I see
man's moon rising. I see troubles on the way.
I wish that never happened.
Looks like we're in for nasty weather.
One eye's taken for an eye. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Cut the rockers over there.
I don't know if that's how John Good Fogarty Lord. Does it. Where he stops and goes, one eye taken for an eye? Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure that's how it is. I was just trying to get that pitch right.
I hope the Lord keeps them quiet.
So can you go ahead and enlighten us on the three domains? Okay.
So the three domains of life based on DNA sequencing, because the five kingdoms were put together before DNA sequencing, so it was all just done on site and what things looked like they were related.
Mm-hmm.
So in the 70s, it was all reclassified according to DNA sequencing. So mm-hmm. there's three domains now. One is eukarya, which is everything like us, plants, animals, fungi, and then there's...
So you did call us eukarya.
I did.
Ah, we missed that. Sailed right over our heads.
You carry a microbe on you.
Boing. You know what you just got?
You got ticked.
You got ticked.
So, eukarya is one. Bacteria is another.
That's us.
And the third one.
Smaller us.
Eukarya, neuteria?
Bacteria.
Oh, bacteria.
Eukarya, bacteria.
It's Italian.
Hey, go wash up. Eukarya, the bacteria.
Oh, it's Cajun.
Oh. And the final one is Archaea.
Because it's old?
Archaea, they look like bacteria. They're single-celled microorganisms with no nucleus, but based on DNA sequencing, they're as different from bacteria as we are from bacteria.
Ooh, and what's an example of that?
So Archaea are typically the extremophiles that we study for... in astrobiology, so they're typically the ones that will live in hot geothermal springs or in the cold Arctic. There's bacteria there too, but a lot of the times we find mostly archaea.
Huh.
But we also have archaea that live in us as well.
Sweet.
In humans.
Yeah. And those are the three: eukarya, bacteria, archaea.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Sweet.
Correct.
Well, we're pretty good at trivia. Any shout outs you want to do? Do
you have any live shows coming up?
You have a Twitter name, anything like that?
Is there a moped sale?
is there a place you'll be? But I don't tweet often.
Oh, okay.
Embly.
You should put up videos of you laughing.
If you had a webcam, I feel like you'd get a surprising amount of hits.
Yeah.
People are just like, you know what I need right now? It's just some giggling.
Yeah.
You guys all ready for a word of the day?
Yeah, we'll do a word of the day.
Can I give a shout out to my dog, Rupert?
No.
Totally, yeah.
No.
We always allow dog shout outs. Rupert, what's up, homeboy?
We have never had a dog shout out.
I shout out Smitty all the time.
We've never had a we're not starting now, David.
No, David.
Constantly.
We are editing out that dog shout out.
We're absolutely, if we're doing a dog shout out, I am leaving.
Delarue doesn't like dog shout-outs.
I hate dog shout-outs. I will do a cat or kitten shout-out, but that's as far as I'll go.
Hello, Mittens.
Mittens. I want to say hello to Checkers, my cat Sylvester, but no Rupert.
Wait, does your dog listen to Professor Blastoff?
Yes, of course he does.
If I have it playing on the stereo, yeah.
On the stereo? Are we on vinyl?
Oh, she's got a stereo, you guys.
Listen to me. I'm on the stereo. Pavement.
Great word of the day, Aaron.
Today's word of the day, I'll pronounce and then I'll let the computer pronounce it. It's saccharide. Let's see if the computer...
Saccharide?
It's like a ride a moped, y'all.
Is the computer on, Dustin? Is that...
Yeah, oh, it seems saccharide. Like what saccharide. Her boyfriend does.
Saccharide.
Saccharide. Of course Aaron chose it because it
that's
has a sack in
it. Come on, God. Really forward.
No, yeah.
Yeah. What was that, Tig?
It sounds like what Emily's boyfriend maybe does.
When he's like really lean forward. All right, listen.
I was saying, yeah, when he leans really forward.
When he leans really forward.
All right. Any guesses?
Yeah, so I'm going to say it is the bacteria that metabolizes sugar.
Saccharide.
David is so specific.
Kinda like I want it to at least kind of sound like it might be a thing.
What, mine doesn't sound like it might be a thing? Saccharide?
Saccharide's for sure a thing. I think it's
saccharide's for sure a thing. I know. It's a word.
It's microbial waste. Is saccharide.
Okay.
What is it?
Emily, do you...
Emily. I forgot about her. She wasn't laughing.
Saccharide's like a carbohydrate sugar.
Yes. That way, Dave.
Okay.
Okay.
More
It's probably sugar inclusively. Any of a series of compounds of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen in which the atoms of the later two elements are in the ratio 2-1, especially those containing the group C6H10O5.
That's technically sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Saccharide.
Great. David, do you have anything to say or read?
We're getting pretty backed up. We appreciate all of the email, but I'm going to spin through a few of them now so we can get more out there. Because thanks for writing in. This one is from Chester. It says, just a quick thank you for cheering me up on a weekly basis. The time travel episode has been a great help as I listened to it today before and after my grandfather's funeral.
Oh.
Not only have you kept me laughing, but you've helped me through a tough few weeks. Keep being podcast. Many thanks, Chester.
Sorry about Grandpa.
Yeah. This next one is from Jennifer. The title is Swamp Rock. It says, hey guys and girl.
What is Swamp Rock?
Said, hey guys and, sorry, it's in like italics, girl. This is a note singing the praises of Kyle's Swamp Rock voice. It makes me very happy. It also takes away some of the sting I felt after a breakup with a guy I really liked who first identified the genre of Swamp Rock for me. The idea of it used to make me sad. Now it makes me laugh. Sincerely, Jennifer.
Throw that ex-boyfriend in the swamp and leave the give a kill to his bloody demise.
So many sad emails.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm glad that... No, I mean, it's fine.
It's like
I'm glad
soup.
That we're...
Oh, here's one I got. Hey guys, I lost all my legs and arms today, but listen to Kyle, and suddenly I don't even care that I have no limbs. I'm totally happy now. Well, thanks, Skateboarder 99. Thank you. That's a great text. Okay. Any more, David?
This one's really long. But it's nice. Professor Blastoff, at some point in my adolescence, I tracked down the butterfly effect of my getting born as follows. A road gives the maximum capacity rating for a bridge. A road sign does. Strangers shoot the road sign, rendering it illegible. A guy in a dump truck that is heavier than the bridge can support takes the bridge, and the bridge collapses. The wife of that guy sues the city for negligence. One of the members of the jury would fill the dead hour sketching people in the court. Another member of the jury liked the drawings and had him draw something for him. After they built some conviviality, the second jury member got the drawing guy a job at a company he worked for. A girl's father dies of Parkinson's. The mother has difficulty supporting the family on her own, so her daughters have to get jobs. A man from their church offers to get one daughter a job at the company he works for.
What's going on?
Obviously, this is the same company as the drawing guy. They meet, eventually date, eventually marry, eventually sex, eventually me. So if whoever shot that sign hadn't done so, I would have never existed.
I wish I'd listened from the beginning. I toned out.
So it's just a long butterfly effect.
Okay. I was going to read from iTunes, from the book of iTunes. It says, why are you laughing so hard?
Book of iTunes.
iTunes.
The
book of iTunes.
Okay. Sorry, buddy.
It says, from Not a Credit Card wrote this. Funny and informative. It reminds me of Radiolab, but with less production value, but funnier. If you like science and philosophy and also like to laugh, you will like this. Hey, thanks.
I got a great one from MySpace, you guys. she says, I am alone here on MySpace. I have no friends at all, but you guys make me totally happy, and it's awesome. Thanks, girl from MySpace. Thanks,
okay,
MySpace.
This one's from Christopher Hardy. If you like NPR and humor, this is one of the most addictive podcasts I've ever listened to, mainly because these three hilarious comedians are all so sweet to each other, but also know how to poke fun at themselves. They ask good questions about interesting topics and delve into their comedy psyche.
Well, that's not true at all, but thank you.
Give it a listen.
I guess he started listening before you guys really had your falling out.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was a dark time.
Shut up, David. You shouldn't have brought that up.
I'm sorry. I just...
Michael Walker from Friendster writes, guys,
you shut up.
I feel like that's your and Kyle's thing. So
I know. I realized I couldn't really get it going.
I don't want you to expend that energy.
Yeah. I also worry about your... flailing health.
I know. I probably shouldn't even
be here.
Be in the hatch.
Yeah.
This hatch is circulated with reconditioned
air. It's a lot of dust.
Have we ever mentioned anything about the hatch? Do you know about the hatch, Aaron, or Emily?
I've heard about it.
What do you know about it?
What do you know about the house? What's up?
It's below Kyle's house, right?
Well, yeah, you tell us.
From what I've heard, yes, it's below Kyle's house, and David found it, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
While playing knockout ball.
And it used to belong to Professor Blastoff. Okay. And then he went away.
You sound bored. And then he went away.
Yeah, how'd he go away?
How'd he go away, little girl?
Is there a bubble and he disappeared?
I think he went into outer space or something, right?
Well, time about machine. As much as we know.
Time machine. That's right.
Okay, this is the last one. By Amb Fu on iTunes.
On iTunes.
On iTunes.
On iTunes.
On iTunes.
It's getting
by
worse.
By Ambu Fu. I wish I had more stars. Dearest Tig, Kyle, David, and Aaron, I have never written a review on here before. I know you read these, so I felt compelled to tell you guys and girl, thank you. I listen to PB on Shuffle while I work. You four keep me chuckling all the live long day. Even re-listening to episodes, it never gets old. I always seem to find a bit I had missed previously, drowned out by laughter, clearly. I used to listen to a lot of podcasts. Since finding yours, I've forsaken all others.
Wow.
Don't change a thing and keep up the great work. To all those other fanboys and girls, try donating to the show on their website. Comics have to eat too. Long live PB.
You wrote that.
I like that they think that we're getting
that was
fed
by
through the podcast.
Tig Sotaro.
Let's do a different intro for that iTunes, because we already had the...
Wait, and can I say, a lot of people write it and they write Tig, Kyle, David, and Aaron, which is great, but Dustin's in here as well. So if you guys want to include him, he makes the show go on. So
yeah,
show him a little love.
Dustin with a D.
Yeah, Dustin.
Yeah.
Speaking of shout-outs, we had a sponsor, Jeff Bayer, that pledged $100.
Yes, thank you, Jeff Bayer. What do you think he's all about, Kyle? What's your guess?
Well, I think he's like an outdoorsman.
Uh-huh.
And I think he probably lives, he had a family, but
oh, what happened?
Divorced.
Okay.
But they're near each other and it's okay.
Okay.
And his ex-wife is dating one of his old friends. It's weird, but they're okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to say dating a grizzly bear. David, do you have anything to add or?
I don't know
part
if
of
a,
the
that's
divorce
true, by
that
the way.
You don't know if it's true?
No, I made that up.
Okay, based on his name, Jeff Bayer.
With Jeff with a G as well, and the two Fs, I feel like he dealt with some issues, like high school-wise.
He's been through something.
And I feel like some of the divorce, I know he doesn't want to hear this, probably from his anger issues, which all stem back to kind of his name growing up. But, that's
Aaron?
Between Jeff and his ex-wife.
The two Fs are very friendly and fragile. Is what they stand for, and the G is gangster. So I think he's a very tough exterior, but friendly and fragile interior.
He really took it in the divorce, I guess.
Yeah, I think that almost shattered him. But
Jeff Bayer, I think he is. I think he's a cobbler. I think he has a little shop in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You said he's an outdoorsman. I'm assuming he lives in a cabin.
You should move that shop.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's the only thing that comes to my head is this guy clearly...
You rarely see a shop in the woods, a cobbler shop in the woods.
You rarely do. But
we're gonna, what you're saying is we're going to give our first ever cobbler special hello.
That's basically what this was all leading up to.
A very special...
Cobbler hello.
Cobbler
to Jeff Bayer. Right. Cobbler, so... Jeff. A very special cobbler hello to Jeff Bayer.
Makes it not to me.
Sorry about that.
Jeff, ahead and throw
I
a couple
think that if you set up a little cobbler
and
shop in the woods,
put nails into
you
shoes.
Can get through this
there's
divorce.
There's peach cobbler. And, yeah. There's cherry cobbler.
Not necessarily the same cobbler that Aaron's thinking of, but we...
But the $100 you sent...
You can cobble whatever the hell you want.
...is appreciated. Jeff Bayer.
Maybe he's doing well.
He is doing well?
Maybe.
Hang in there, buddy. Thanks for the support.
Sorry about everything, Jeff.
I know we gave a dog shout out to Rupert. I also like a little shout out to my friend Vern. Happy birthday, buddy.
Is he a dog?
He's a listener and a human being.
I know shout outs to any Verns.
Too late, bro.
I don't like the name.
Already happened.
All right.
And to those listeners, they're just waking up.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
You wait, just waking pretty. Up for this episode?
Yeah, yeah. They
at the very end?
They're headed off on the bus on their way to work, and they're laughing, and people are we get, emails, people saying, I look like a fool on the train. Continue laughing and being a goof on the train. We're happy to be a part of that. Good morning. And
David, you continue to have your voice go up really high.
When I'm giving a shout out, I like to take it up any high.
And then we were going to talk about a book before we head out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, you know about this book.
First of all, we want to say thank you. And we're happy to have this book. Go ahead, Aaron.
Okay, the book. Wait, David's right. We do want to say thank you and that we're happy to have this book.
I forgot
to set it up that way.
Wait. Before you start, Aaron, did we already say thank you and we're happy to have this book?
David mentioned it.
I feel like
did you have something? I just want to make sure someone got it in.
Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead, Kyle.
Thank you, and we're happy to have this book.
And Kyle, what was the author's name again?
I don't think we need to say anything more.
We got it.
Just like some information on
the guy's name, maybe? What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Love Bomb. And the author's...
Well, I was going to say, we all love that book.
Yeah, naturally. Why wouldn't you? It's edgy. It's funny. It's in the vein of Dr. Strangelove. I'm not just reading this.
No, just read the bullet points.
It's only 99 cents.
What?
On all digital readers like Kindle, iPhone, iPad, Sony Reader, Nook, all those. You can also...
Nookandcranny.com.
You can get a trailer on his website. It already has 100,000 views.
Hold on, Aaron.
And who
Kyle's
got
trying,
it? I Kyle. Downloaded it on Cranny, and it was like defective. Like some of the pages didn't come
so
out.
So just go to Nook.
Go to Nook or
yeah.
So Cranny is not. Okay.
Don't go
to Nook and Cranny. Go just
straight to Nook.
Cranny overprices it too. I think it's like $1.
It's a slow download on Cranny.
Yeah. So go to Nook.
Okay, and you can get a preview if you go to lovebombbook.com.
What is this
trailer.
Book that we love so much?
Okay, well, the story, colon, a military experiment.
Well, did somebody send us an email?
Yes. Your wife's gotten up to leave in the middle of your speech.
She's leaving. The story is a military experiment going horribly wrong, and it turns an entire platoon gay.
Well, why is that wrong? That sounds fabulous.
Well, it's a satire, you see.
Everything's done right.
On the minds of that are behind the DADT.
Why?
Written in the vein of Dr. Strangelove.
Why?
Some people and press have focused on the fact that a straight guy wrote the book because it satirizes straight people and is unabashedly pro-gay.
Wait, hold on one second.
You sound passionate about this book.
If you're listening to this episode, and you're at work, I would pause it now and then press play again right before you go to bed to try to, get...
There's also a paperback available on Amazon or directly from www.lovebombbook.com. Mm. Go and get this book, you guys. All of us have...
Why do you love it so much? Let's go around and say why we love this so much. Aaron.
You're first.
What?
Just the fact that he's bold enough to take a stand on an issue that he feels very passionate about.
He's against gay.
No, he's pro.
He's pitching it hard on this show. Get this book, you guys.
He is pro comedy.
Gays.
He's sick and tired of the establishment, and he's taking a stand.
You know, I was reading the book through this whole episode, and what stood out to me most was the drawings in the book. That's
on your Nook?
Yeah, on my Nook. Those drawings, the full color, just love them.
And it's pretty...
It's gay people.
It's pretty hardcore gay stuff.
Gays.
I have not read the book.
With a circle with a line through it. No, this is pro-gay, and they've drawn it that way. What stuck out to you when you read it?
Well, I have not read it, but I was half listening to Aaron, so what I've gathered...
Okay.
And from the 3 pages that came down from Cranny that I was able to read, is that it's a commentary on our society, how that tough, guy persona has got to be let go, and we need to not hang on to our old images of warriors.
Here, here.
I reiterate that 100 times over. It was the tough exterior behind
gays.
Yeah, exactly. Like the protagonist in this particular book, very gay.
And what is it called?
It's called Love Bomb. Oh, and right. I've read so many books that are gay and are not drawn gay. And finally to read one
not
that's
drawn gay.
I mean, this it was just refreshing.
What's the guy's name that wrote it?
His name is Ryan, and I might...
Ryan what, Aaron?
Galen?
Nuh-uh.
No, it's G-I-E-L-E-N, but Galen. In the context, yeah. It was...
Ryan Galen.
So,
is this his coming out story?
He says he's straight because that's what the critics have
Look,
been criticizing
Look, I send people
him for.
Emails all the time saying I'm straight.
Well, that's what people
Love
have been
Tig
criticizing.
Galen.
People are saying, hey, you're a straight guy writing about gay people. Why should we listen to you?
I'm straight from the land of gay.
I'm from the land of gay.
Not gay land.
I'm
Ryan
straight
Galen.
I'm from the land of gay.
Straight from the land of gay.
I am 100% straight. I am from the land of gay.
I wrote a little book about it.
It's cute. You should read it. It's drawn very pro-gay.
Emily, have you read it?
Tell us your review of...
Isn't this the same storyline as 30 Rock one time?
I don't know.
It's like these all these books are based on 30 Rock episodes.
This is an episode of 30 Rock. All right, I think that we've gotten the word out about this book. You should check it out.
Love Bomb.
And here's what we would like is for you to buy it, read it, and then let us know what this book is about.
First person to get us in a book report gets a free
book
shout out.
Report.
Gets and a shout right out to your dog to you. Or your cat.
Yeah,
and if you feel like draw something pro gay.
Yeah. Yeah, if you You know what? I bet one of us will draw something pro-gay for you if you'll do a book report on this book.
Yes.
All right.
What has that been?
Well, before it's been anything, it's been a pleasure. And Emily,
check out at Blastoff Podcast, ProfessorBlastoff.com, AllOfOurNames.com, Earwolf.com, iTunes.
I have to say,
Professor Blastoff Afterthoughts.
I would say go to our tour pages, but mine...
Subject to change.
That might not be happening for a little while.
Oh, I started a Facebook fan page. No, people are jonesing to get at that. I don't care for Facebook very much, so that's a thing where people can see some of my drawings and what have videos and such. So,
hey, I went to high school with Mark Zuckerberg.
Really?
Whoa. And you've been holding that in the whole time?
Can you get him on Professor Blastoff?
Probably not. He was a senior when I was a freshman.
Oh,
who
cares?
Did you have any interactions with him or have any opinion of him when you were in high school?
I don't remember.
Was
Did you rub
MySpace?
Microbes? Did you rub microbes?
Yeah.
Well, that's been podcast.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.